It's so good to be back here, okay, this weekend to be all of you, okay, celebrating Chinese New Year that I managed to catch yesterday for the last day. Chinese really know how to celebrate, isn't it? Okay, but also, friends, you know, I want to lead us all into prayer right before I share the word. This is an important time in the life of Indonesia, as we all know. The election for the governorship of Jakarta is going to take place February the 15th, just a few days from today, 3 days from today. Okay, and it is an important time in the life of Jakarta, Indonesia, that you and I must be involved in praying. Not just because Ahok, who is actually being charged, okay, and although the proceedings have not been completed, all right, he's going to stand for election. We're going to pray for God's perfect will to be done. Can everybody amen for that, isn't it? Okay, here's a man who stands up for truth, for justice and righteousness, who fights against corruption, who shows no favoritism to anyone, including family members, and he works well with the president, Jokowi, who also stands against corruption like this, friends. So we need to pray, because all kinds of forces, radical, fundamentalist forces at work to try to stop him, prevent him, and to really move him aside. And so, friends, it is important for you and to be praying that God's perfect will be done in this coming election. Can you good amen for that? Is it okay? Why don't we stand? Let's pray together, because we are participating in an important part of the history of Indonesia. And as you know, Indonesia is such an important country in Southeast Asia, around the world indeed, that whatever happens in Indonesia has got huge influence, impact in Malaysia. Amen. When righteous leaders are raised up, it will speak very powerfully to Malaysia as well, isn't it? Indeed, around the world. So friends, it is a privilege for you and I this morning to pray before election takes place. Amen. For God's wonderful, perfect will to be done. Come, let's all raise our voices. Let's pray aloud together. Our Father, we come before you, Lord God. We thank, we praise you, Father, for the joy and the privilege that is ours to stand, O God, with our friends and brothers and sisters in Indonesia. Lord God, we know Indonesia is going through, oh God, Father, amazing times. This is a defining moment in the life of Indonesia, what is going to take place, not in Jakarta, but the whole of Indonesia. What a great land, what a great nation. What wonderful people, oh God, that are there, Father. The largest Muslim country in the whole world. Oh God, we praise, we bless you, what you're doing, oh God. Especially in this recent year, revivals has broken out, Father, we pray. Multitudes have come into the kingdom, oh God. We praise you, we bless you for this, our Father. And Lord, we want to bring to you right now, Lord, the election of the governorship of Jakarta, oh God, 3 days' time. Lord, we bring this before you, asking for mercy, for grace, for your divine, our Father, intervention in all these, oh God, that a person of your choice will be elected, our Father, we pray. We pray for your hand upon our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Protect him by your power and his family members, oh God. We recognize all kinds of pressures, threats, and intimidation is upon his life and his family's life, Father, we pray. Shield him by your power, Father, we pray. And he'll be remain to trust you, be steadfast, remain fervent and strong, Father, we pray. Courageous in the midst of all kinds of challenges, Father, we ask, oh God, that indeed, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, in a wonderful, wonderful manner, that your good purpose will be seen, Father. Your name will be honored and glorified through the election, our Father, we pray, so that Indonesia will set a wonderful course for what is ahead, oh God, for the land, as well as Southeast Asia, as well as for the whole world, our Father, we pray. So we look to you, Father, for you, oh God, to break forth in victory, authority, and power, that your perfect will be seen in all of these, oh God, we pray. We bless you, Lord, for the joy, the privilege to stand, oh God. Father, we pray in the gap for this great nation, Indonesia. We bless you for this, our Father. Oh God, we worship, we praise you, Father. And also speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, all God's wonderful people say, amen, amen, amen. Come, let's read the passage of Scripture together as we focus this morning on the subject, okay, one of the 5 core habits in UMC, that of humility. So, Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 15, friends, okay? It's a great passage of Scripture focusing on humility. Come, let's read together. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burnt against them, and he left them. When a cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "O God, please heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she could be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move till she was brought back. Our Father, we thank and praise you, O God, for your word you inscribed over the centuries, indeed for thousands of years, O God. Father, for instruction, for our teaching, our training, our equipping in righteousness, so that we as your people, Father, O God, we grow up to be people who be equipped in every way to serve you. So speak to us by your word again, Father, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats? How many of us, we are put off by proud people? Let me repeat. How many of us, we are put off by proud people? See your hands. Wow, so many hands. Say to your neighbor, "So be humble lah." That's the end of my sermon, by the way. Let me close in prayer. The shortest sermon I've ever preached in my whole life. And those who need to be more humble, come at the end of the service. I'm going to pray for you. Is it okay? All right? It'd be wonderful like this, isn't it? But no, really, the subject of humility is a difficult subject Pastor Chris has asked me to preach on. Because why? If you preach on it, you die. You don't preach on it, you also die. So how? Preach lah. Amen, isn't it? Because, friends, a subject like this, you and I will be very aware, I'm very aware, actually, the more I prepare for this sermon, the further I feel myself from being humble. That's the reality of it. The more you dig into the Word of God, and you just need to, friend, do the word search for the word humble or humility. It comes out dozens of times in Scripture, many, many times in Scripture. Okay? And yet the more you study it, the more you work on it, the more you prepare it, it just makes you less and less humble. It just shows you how far you're away really from humility. And yet, friends, you know what? The Bible talks a lot about it, and it is necessary. It is important for you and I to talk about it. Can I get a good amen for that? And that's why it's one of the core habits, really, that here in DMC we are emphasizing. Well, before I talk further about humility, firstly, what are habits? Okay, what are habits, really? Simply, in my own definition, I say habits are ingrained patterns of behavior in us that we exhibit normally and naturally. Ingrained patterns built into us a certain set of behaviors and responses that will live out naturally, automatically, many times without our realizing. Those are what habits are. And therefore, if this is the case, the important thing is how are habits formed, isn't it? How are habits formed in all our lives? Friends, as always in any habit, it starts with the mind. It starts, friends, with our thinking, our thoughts, really. And our thoughts, as we all know, will lead to what? Will lead to words. And from words, it moves on to the whole area, okay, of actions. And actions will produce in a process for all of us habits. Things that we repeat regularly in our lives. Actions that we do, and many times unconsciously. You know what, friends? That becomes our habits, isn't it? And habits in a process will result in character. And character, friends, will determine for you and I our destiny, our future. And that's when we form bad habits, friends. It becomes part and parcel of the character. And when that is the case, friends, you know what happens? There is no future for us. And that's the reason why it is so important, isn't it, for you and I to develop, to form good habits and right habits. Can a good amen for that, isn't it? Because out of that, our character becomes a kind of character we pray by God's grace, right, that will honor, please God. And if that is so, friends, we know there is a future, there is hope, and there's a wonderful destiny for all of us, isn't it? But friends, when we form bad habits, which starts with our thinking, when we begin to scheme ways and means to cheat, to lie, to swindle, to take advantage, to oppress, to suppress people, friends, it will result in words and actions. And in a process like this, friends, it becomes part and parcel that is ingrained in us of our habits. That's why some people, they are natural liars and cheaters. It's ingrained in them. Why? Because it starts in the mind. It works through in the environment. In the process, friends, we find you're always finding ways and means to lie, to cheat, to take advantage. And people like this, you and I know, friends, would have a very dangerous future. Maybe even no future at all, isn't it? So unless we're willing to learn and grow, change and develop, unless we're willing to rewire ourselves all the way through, then, friends, we will slowly, in the process of time, develop good habits and have a wonderful character, and it gives us hope and a future and a destiny. Can good amen for that? And that's our burden and concern, friends. And here in the life of DMC, we are constantly helping one to develop, to grow, to become people who are better in the Lord, people form great, wonderful habits so that we live our lives with wonderful character, so that indeed there is a hope and a future for us. Good amen for that. And that's why you and I know, friends, UMC is known as a teaching church. We emphasize very important whole area, teaching you well, so that we pray by God's grace, it will form your mind, it will develop a right heart and an attitude, so that in the process you work it out in our lives. So that we pray by God's grace together, we journey into a great, wonderful future, and all God's people say. Therefore, coming to this habit about the whole area of humility, what firstly is humility, right? Simply defined, if you look at Scripture, humility is simply being meek, okay, lowly of heart, self-effacing and gentle. A humble person will always reflect this. Someone who is meek, self-effacing, gentle, gracious, humble, and that's what it is. Someone who is not proud, someone who is not pushy, arrogant, demanding. Never like this, friends. Now, sometimes we tend to think, surely a humble person is a very weak person, is a pushover. Friends, can I say, far from the truth. I'm going to show you as we go along in Scripture. The perfect example of a meek person is the person of Jesus Christ. Look at him. No pushover at all. Can you would amen? Isn't it? No pushover at all. Okay? Why it is so important for all of us like this, friends? But before that, friends, in the whole in humility, it is always shown in a posture of our heart, and then it grows into the attitude of our mind, and then it produces actions in our lives. All right? It is always in the progression. It starts with a posture of our heart, what we are on the inside, friends, for all of us. And so therefore, a humble person, a meek person, is someone who is rested on the inside, who is not striving with people, who is not out to try to prove to people that he or she is good and very good. There's a quiet restedness about that person. There's a quiet confidence in the Lord about that person. There is a graciousness and a gentleness about that person. And that's what humility, what meekness is all about. Not only that, friends, it is also shown in the attitude of the mind. A humble person, for example, friends, you can be very sure is a person who treats everybody at whatever level of society they're saying. She doesn't give preference to those who are high up in society and neglect and look down those who are little, as it were, value in life. No, friends. A humble person, friends, would treat everybody well, would not consider anyone of importance, significance, that I must give them preference compared to the others. Not only, friends, a humble person is someone who will treat every person well. A humble person will also take whatever responsibility and role, whatever jobs, that it is nothing too small for him or for her to do. There is nothing too low for him or for her to do. That's a reflection of the attitude of the mind that is worked out, friends, in a process in action. But more than that, in terms of action, you find a humble person will never desire for status, for position, for power, for recognition, that he or she must be first. Never. You never see this in a humble person. It's a reflection of a proud and an arrogant person who wants always to be recognized, who wants to be first, who wants position and power and recognition and whatsoever that comes along with it. And friends, you know, here in Scripture, therefore, as we see, one of the best persons we have read just now is a person of Moses. One's the best example, okay, of humility, isn't it? Because here, Moses was challenged by his own siblings, by Miriam and Aaron, who were both older than him. And so they thought to themselves, why should God only speak to Moses? God can also speak to us, isn't it? So they challenged Moses' leadership. Friends, this is a record again. Let's read it. It's important. But because when the two rose up the challenge against younger brother, who do you think you are? You think God can only speak to you? Can't God speak to us as well? This is a record again. Let's read together. It is important. Together, church.
The anger of the Lord burnt against them, and he left them. When a cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten." So Moses cried out to the Lord, "O God, please heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father spit on her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. A fantastic example of a humble person is this. When challenged or insulted, that person will never fight back. Instead, you notice that person continues to be meek and gracious. That person, you notice, will not try to vindicate himself or herself, but allow God to vindicate. But most of all, friends, that person will be willing to pray for the challenger, would be even to pray for that person who gives trouble to him, to her. That's an amazing example, friends, of a person who is humble, of a person who is meek like this, as we see in the life of Moses. Now, Moses wasn't like this before, as we all know. In Exodus chapter 2, for example, when he saw something that was wrong, he intervened between the two Egyptians who were quarreling, fighting each other, and said he killed one of the Egyptians. Isn't it? And then the next day, when he saw two Hebrews, his own people quarreling with each other, Moses intervened again, tried to prevent them from quarreling. Moses appointed himself as judge, okay, as Lord, okay, as everything else over his people. He was brash, he was young, he was brash, he was pushy, he was everything else. God had to teach him. By now, I believe over time, Moses has learned this precious lesson, because out of that experience in trying to intervene in a quarrel between the two Hebrews, when he was exposed, Moses ran for his life for 40 years. He was on the backside of the desert, as it were. And in that process, when as a shepherd hen, God taught him, God molded him to become the kind of person. And now Moses, meek, humble, and gracious, did not fight back at all. Left it to God for the Lord to intervene. And here Moses was willing to even pray for his challenger, that God's mercies and grace will prevail. And it's always a case, friends, of a person who is humble. We'll never fight back. We'll never show that he is in charge and control. But we'll trust God. Why? Because he or she knows God is in charge at the end of it all, and all God's people say. And I pray by God's grace, friends, we with such people like this. Never easy. And as I said, the more I think, reflect, and prepare this, the more I feel further away from Moses. Okay? Isn't like this. And that's a reality for us all. Now, if this is the case, therefore, the Bible talks about it, and dozens of times it talks about it. Okay, why is humility so important? Why is it the Bible places such a great value? And why is it here in DMC, hopefully, prayerfully, okay, likewise, we emphasize strongly and powerfully, and here we are to raise up, we pray by God's grace, a whole generation of humble people, and all the humble people say, okay, very silent, humble people. I know I've told you this before. If someone comes up to you and says to you, if that person comes up and says to you, "Pastor, I'm a humble person," that's a sure sign he's not a humble person. Amen. It's a very strange quality. And yet the Bible emphasizes a lot about this, and that's the reality of it all. Why is humility so important? Let me give you three out of many reasons I can talk about because of time, just three reasons. Why is it so important? Firstly, friends, in an amazing manner, it attracts the favor of God. You and I begin to experience the favor, the mercies, the goodness, and the grace of God in a wonderful manner. Even for someone, friends, who is really rotten in character. An example I'm going to quote to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 33 is an example of a man who is so rotten, who has done every form of evil and idolatry that he has brought into the nation of Israel, who as king, King Manasseh himself, who had done everything that is evil and wrong, even of sacrifice his own child to the fire. Imagine someone who has brought so much problem and trouble and disaster to Israel for 50 years of his reign. He ruled altogether 55 years. For practically 50 years, he destroyed and tore Israel apart. And yet, friends, you know what? Eventually, when he repented, and before repentance took place, he was taken as prisoner by the king of Assyria. They put a hook in his nose and took him as a slave, literally, to Assyria. Friends, God mercifully intervened. And this was his prayer, therefore, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 12 and 13. Let's read together. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. It was only when he was humbled and really humbled, he repented, turned around. And it says here, he humbled himself greatly. Friends, how do you humble yourself greatly? It's very hard, isn't it? Okay? And yet the Bible says he humbled himself greatly and God heard his entreaty. God heard his plea, his cry, his travail. And God showed mercy. Now, friends, I hope this is not a license for you and I, therefore. Let us go and do all kinds of rubbish and nonsense. And just before the day we die, turn to Jesus. Wow, so good, isn't it? All our rubbish, all erased just like this, isn't it? And that's how, friends, can I say, some non-Christians don't like Christianity, don't like this Jesus we talk about. They say, Pastor, so simple one. That guy do all kinds of nonsense and one prayer confession, all ultimately like that. How come? So unfair, so unjust. What kind of Christianity is this? But friends, they've forgotten that we all exist, whoever we are. Christian, we all exist by the grace of God. Can good amen for that, isn't it? The fact that we all get sunshine and rain, whether we are Christian or not, is a grace of God. And all God's people receive sunshine, say, isn't it? It's a grace and the mercies of God. But friends, those people who think like that, and we come across some people who think like that, let me do all kinds of rubbish. Then just before I die, I accept Jesus. I say, how do you know when you will die? You will not know. You can die. But more important than that, friends, can I say, it is foolish of the person to think, I can do anything I want with no restraint whatsoever, and then just before I die, trust in Jesus, it settles everything. But think about all the years you're wasted in doing all kinds of rubbish and nonsense. They think that, you know, if I can operate without any restraint whatsoever, that's a great life to live. In fact, friends, can I say, that's a miserable life to live, and those who agree, say. Let me rewind, okay? Maybe you didn't hear me quite carefully or quite clearly. If we think that we can live any way we want, and then just before we die, accept Jesus, that's actually a miserable life to live, and all those who agree say. Imagine the loss in blessings you and I receive from God. Imagine knowing the grace and the goodness of God. Imagine experiencing the favor of God. All this is missed in our lives. In fact, friends, in living the way we live without any restraint, we are actually putting ourselves as a slave. We are actually shortchanging ourselves. We are actually, friends, dehumanizing ourselves. And that's a reality of it all. And because you and I are smart, we turn to Jesus earlier, and all the smart people say, isn't it? Yeah. How many of you, we've been blessed and blessed amazingly. See your hands. Okay, see your hands. Your hands not up, come up, we pray for you afterwards, isn't it? Yeah, it's true. In fact, just last Sunday, I was preaching in Skyline SIB in Kota Kinabalu, Pastor Philip Lynch Church, okay? And as always, when we meet, we talk about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning the next day or on Sunday night itself, trying to resolve the whole world's problems, a lot of problems in the world, especially Malaysia, okay? And we talk, and we look back, reflect upon our lives. We've been friends for over 40 years, and we look back, we're amazed and humbled by what God has done in our lives, really. Okay, 2 young chikus running around UK as students. Okay, and by the grace of God, God molded us, made us, and God enabled us to do what we've been able to do over the years like this. And for these friends, we are so grateful. That night when we met together last Sunday, they met together to pray. Okay, Monday early morning, pray together. We are so grateful to God of what God has done in our lives. It is all the grace of God, and all God's people say, isn't it? The blessings, the goodness we enjoy, it's a grace of God. And this God wants to favor us even more. And all those who desire more favor say, wow, this is now a louder amen, isn't it? We all want, and this God wants to favor us. Why? Because humility attracts God's grace and God's blessings and God's favor for us. And that's the reason why 1 Peter chapter 5, second half of verse 5, let's read together. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. There is special grace There's special goodness and mercies and love upon us for those who are humble, isn't it? And that's why we sang the song just now. Your grace amazes us. Your grace amazes us. Why? Because your grace changes us. Hello? Hey, are we singing the same song or not just now? Are we in the same hall together, by the way? Isn't it? Your grace amazes us. It is just amazing. It is your grace that changes us, isn't it? It is true. It is all the grace of God, who we are, what we are, is the grace of God. And this God of grace will pour even more grace upon our lives, isn't it? And that's the first thing that we see, friends, that when we are humble, it attracts the grace of God. When we are proud, see, friends, the Bible says here, God opposes the proud. In other words, friends, when we are proud, God is on the opposite camp with us. And there's the last person you want to be on the opposite camp with, isn't it? You want God to be on your side and not the other side, isn't it? But friends, when we're humble, that's what we enjoy, the grace, goodness, and the mercies and favor of God. Secondly, friends, it causes God to hear our prayers. Not only do we enjoy God's favor, but friends, you know, we also get God hearing our prayers as well. And this is what we read of 2 Chronicles 7:14, very familiar verse. Let's read together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. That when we humble ourselves and pray, what happens? God hears, God responds, isn't it? What a privilege, what a blessing, isn't it? And that's why, friends, when we humble ourselves before and cry to Him, like even King Manasseh himself, amazingly, friends, God hears and God intervenes. Thirdly, friends, you find that when we are humble, it helps us to grow in wisdom, stature, as well as in favor. And that's why Proverbs 11, verse 2 says this. Together, church, let's read. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. But with humility comes wisdom. Why is it a humble person is a wise person? A humble person is a wise person because a humble person is always teachable, submissive, willing to learn, and willing to grow. And all you people say, that's what it is, isn't it? And it's because a humble person is always submissive and teachable. That's why he grows. That's why he grows in greater insights and wisdom, greater understanding of God and the things of God, being more wise in the way he or she lives his life. And that's a reality of it all, like this, for all of us. And that's why, friends, the perfect, the par excellence example is the life of Jesus that we read of in Luke 2, verse 52. Let's read together. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Wisdom and stature in favor with God and with men. Now, what is stature? Stature is not about the height of a person, though we've got a few giants here in DMC that we thank God, isn't it? Stature is who and what you are on the inside. It is who and what you are inside that gives you the stature. And when you meet a man of stature, you know that you know. It is like, for example, when you meet a spiritual man, when you meet a man with spiritual authority, you will know, you will recognize that man is spiritual and that man carries spiritual authority. Of course, provided you are spiritual also. Hello? Are you still there with me? Isn't it? Because if you're not spiritual, you will not recognize another spiritual person. You will not understand spiritual authority. But if you're spiritual and you carry spiritual authority, friends, you know what? You don't have to demand from people, hey, you submit to me, you know, I've got spiritual authority. Such a person who says like this, it just shows has no spiritual authority. Why? Because a person who's got spiritual authority has a stature in him, in her, and he carries naturally with him. And friends, you know, this is not developed overnight. This is developed over time. This is developed over decades. When you have it, you have it. And that's what it is for us, friends. God wants all of us to grow in wisdom, in stature, in favor with Him. And with men, isn't it? And so therefore, friends, humility draws the favor of God. Humility releases the unction of God. Humility, friends, moves us on to grow deeper, higher, and strong in God. And such a humble person, friends, you can be sure, is a person who will stand strong. He's a person who is no pushover. He's a person who is never weak, because being meek is not being weak. It's a person who knows where to take a stand, especially when it is about truth, justice, and righteousness, and who is unafraid to pay the price for it all, in standing for truth, for justice, for righteousness. I'll be leading a team from DMC tomorrow night to Israel. Pray for us. I'm looking forward towards visiting the Holocaust Museum for the third time. The last two times I missed it. I'm looking for two persons there, probably three persons. One of them is Chiyun Sugahira. He's known as a Japanese Schindler or Schindler. How many watched the movie Schindler's List? Can I see your hands? Okay, it's a movie about Oskar Schindler, isn't it? The German entrepreneur who engaged 1,200 Jews to work in his factory to prevent them from being executed by the Nazis, you see, like this. And so we find that it's Chiyun Sugahira, a Japanese Schindler, so-called. Why? Because he issued visas, okay, when he was in Lithuania to allow many, many Jews to escape by the thousands. Okay, and when he was dismissed by the Japanese government, he would go to a train station and give stamp to every one of the passport for them to escape the Nazis. Okay, and in the process, he saved thousands. Another guy who helped to save thousands is by the name of Ho Fengshan, a Chinese diplomat based in Vienna. He's my uncle because it's the same surname. Likewise, in 1939, 1940, he issued thousands of visas to allow the Jews to escape to Shanghai. So that today, go to Shanghai, there's a museum in Shanghai commemorating his amazing, amazing work to save thousands of Jews, right, from the Nazi evil rule, like this. There are two trees planted there, just outside the Holocaust Museum, and they are named as Righteous Amongst the Nations. People will help the Jews in a wonderful manner. So I look forward to visit, okay, the two trees and just stand in amaze in greater thanksgiving for a great man like this. But there's one other man, a British man. At that time, a young British stockbroker who was prepared to sacrifice his life to intervene in Czechoslovakia to allow 669 young little children, Jewish children, to escape to Britain, and they were spared. Friends, he kept this totally quiet for some 50 years until one day his wife was looking through the attic and found a scrapbook. And in that scrapbook, the wife noticed a whole long list of 669 Jewish children that he has really, right, got them through, okay, the terror of Nazism to Britain. The names of the children, the ages of the children, and so on and so forth. 50 years later, when it was made known by the wife, British television came and do a program on him. And we're going to watch shortly a short video clip of what happened when he was brought into the audience in this program called That's Life by British television. Of people who came without his knowledge when he was present there, of children who have been saved by him through his heroic act, but never talked about it at all like this. He was, in 2003, knighted by Queen Elizabeth II, he becomes Sir Nicholas Winton. And in 2014, he was conferred the Czechoslovakia Order of the White Lion, so-called. He died just over a year ago at the age of 106. Here is, friends, this man, the British Schindler. Watch him, okay, on this short video clip that was produced in 1988.
All the letters, but back here is the list of all the children. This is Vera Diamant, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton. And it was just so wonderful, so terribly, terribly touching. Can I ask, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
Here's an example, friends, of heroism. What is a humility? We refuse to talk about it until they discover it. But friends, that's what it is for people like this, willing to serve, willing to go out, risk his or her life for the sake of other people, friends. These are great heroes, unsung heroes of the world like this. And therefore, if that is so, friends, how can you and I grow in humility? Again, three quick things, three important areas as to how we can grow in humility for all of us. Listen, because it is not enough to talk about humility. It is not enough to talk about how we'll be blessed because we are humble. But more importantly, how we can grow. How many of us, we want to grow in humility and greater humility? See your hands, okay? Right? Those hands are not up. Maybe you should come here and preach the sermon. I want to listen to you, okay? And learn myself to grow in it. Listen, we all need, all of us. And friends, can I say, we grow all through life. We never stop growing humility. In fact, interesting, yesterday for the first time preaching here on the pulpit, there was a cat that came through and went through the hole there like this. And I said to the audience, you know, even the cat wants to listen to a sermon humility because the cat wants to grow in greater humility. It's an amazing, all right? It is like some years ago I preach here, there's a young kid who ran up here like this, okay? And I said, you know what? This kid cannot wait to take over preaching from me because why? I think he thinks he can do a better job, but it's great. Listen, and that's what we appreciate here in UMC. Anyone, everyone, all welcome on board. No, okay? Take your time, all right? Listen, how can we grow in humility, all right? Firstly, friends, allow God to expose what is in our heart. This is most critical. Most critical, okay? Because nobody knows our heart, or nobody knows fully about our heart. A wife may know a lot about our heart, but not everything about our heart, and all the men say, okay. Isn't it? Our heart can be hidden from everyone. But you know, friends, we can hide it from God. Amen? Hello? You there? Amen, isn't it? And that's why you notice Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says this. Let's read together. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Why does God do all this? He wants to test us to expose what is in our heart, right? And so very often what happens is sometimes God offends our minds to expose our hearts so that, you know, we are shown as to the person that we really are, isn't it? Because sometimes we are so good in hiding ourselves and hiding our heart that nobody knows. And that's why, friends, God is primarily concerned about exposing what is in our hearts, whether we really follow Him, sincerely, honestly, genuinely follow Him or not, or whether hidden agendas. Friends, you know, that's God's burden and concern for all of us in the first place in wanting to do something deep in our hearts. What is the reason in doing this? Right? That God wants to mold our character. And this molding of character, friends, never stops until we die, isn't it? Until we die honestly. Why? Because there is always something to learn at whatever age in our life, and the more senior citizens say, okay, all right, I'll be quiet, isn't it? There is always something to learn to grow in. No one stops learning and growing. That's why to have the attitude, been there, seen it, done that, it's a terrible attitude to have, isn't it? That I pray by God's grace here in the life of DMC, we're going to continue to learn and grow and mature and become just better and better. And it's all through life. And that's what God does with Moses. You know, friends, even the experience in Numbers chapter 12, we read about Moses. Moses later on still made mistakes, you know that? Why? Because what happens, the people of God, as Moses led them to the promise, they're grumbling like crazy, you know what I mean? Okay? And what happens is, God said, use a rod and strike the rock. And Moses did once, and the water came out. But then they went on further to the desert of Zin. In the desert of Zin in Kadesh Barnea, they complained and grumbled against Moses. Why you lead us out here to die of thirst and that kind of thing? And God told Moses, stand in front of the people and speak to the rock. Speak to the rock, and water will flow. What did Moses do? Moses, maybe like many of us, tapali tahan lagi, wet hard the rock twice, isn't it? And the water came out, no doubt. But God said to Moses, sorry, my friend, because you did that, that has dishonored me by what you did. I'm sorry, my friend Moses, you shall not enter the promised land because you have dishonored me by what you did. even at such late age of his life, God has to correct Moses, and with a painful experience of not entering the promised land. Now, some of us in our Israel trip, I was going to climb Mount Nebo. Thankfully, not climb Mount Nebo like Moses, but go up by coach up to Mount Nebo and stand and look over the whole Jordan Valley. And it's a shocker to see this amazing land that has been promised to Moses that God is going to give his people. But Moses stood there just only watching without having to cross, without the permission to go into the promised land. But he did eventually, friends. You know why? Because one day when Jesus was up on a mountain, he was transfigured, if you remember, isn't it? He was transfigured. And who appeared before Jesus? There was Moses and Elijah, isn't it? And so Moses did eventually enter the promised land. They're transfigured, okay, together with Jesus like this in a wonderful, wonderful manner. So God was actually Moses' undertaker, you know that? All right, because Moses was, nobody knows where he was buried. But friends, you know, here Moses has learned the painful lessons, and for likewise I ask that we will continue to remain teachable and humble before God and all God's people say, isn't it? That's the first thing, okay, that God is going to check in our heart to see whether it's honest and sincere, okay, and open and transparent and accountable before God. The second way of growing humility is through servanthood. All right, through servanthood. And the best example of servanthood is going to see in the life of Jesus, Mark 10:45, together. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave himself, okay, in true servanthood. That's why he came to the world. He is King, he is Lord, he is Master, isn't it? There is no need for him to come as a servant, and yet Jesus came as a servant. And that's why, friends, you notice in John chapter 13, which we will not read, there was Jesus in John 13 washing the feet of his disciples. And after washing the feet of the disciples, Jesus says, now, you go and do likewise. As I come to serve you, depicted by this washing of feet, you must do the same as well to all those around you. And Jesus says this, if you do that, look at the last verse, sometimes we miss out. The last verse, Jesus says like this to them, verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do it as I have done for you. But before that, it says here, okay, let me, right. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example you should do as I have done for you. And you read on to the end, Jesus says, you'll be blessed if you do them. You'll be blessed if you do them. And so, friends, when we step into servanthood, this is what happens. The lower down we go in serving, what happens? The great humility God grows in us. The lower down we go in serving people, the more God grows humility in us. The best example that I can think of is Mother Teresa. Isn't it? She is really the epitome of humility. Went down to the dying in the streets of Calcutta, picked them up, nurse them either back to health or nurse them and give them a decent funeral. And many of these will die very, very quickly. And here's this person, friends, who went all the way down to the lowest of the low and served them like this. And that's why, church, you know, here is this small woman, barely 5 feet tall. And when she was speaking in the U.S. House of Congress when she was alive, she threw up her arms before all these congressmen, so-called, as well, the mighty power of the world. And she says to all of them, if you don't, all these children, meaning the way you aborted, the way you carried abortion and killed many of these children, if you don't, all these children, give them all to me. Here is a small, tiny, frail woman challenged the powers of the world. And you know what, friends? When she threw up her arms and said, give them all to, I'll take them all, there was pin drop silence. And slowly, one by one, starting from the president, stood up and started applauding and cheering. That's what happens, friends. When it is true, real humility, you dare to challenge the powers of the world and stand afraid. And that's what it is for all of us, friends, like this. Finally, friends, most of all, you and I must learn from an example of Jesus. How did Jesus portray himself? First, by what he says, isn't it? So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The humble shall inherit the earth. The humble shall possess the earth without having to pay the price for it, and that's what it is for all of us. And likewise, Jesus says like this about himself, Matthew 11, verses 28, 29. Let's read together. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. I'm humble and gentle in heart. Noting what Jesus says, friends, but also for you and I, friends, how Jesus relates to people and treats people. Here are six quick examples for all of us. First example of blind Bartimaeus. People have no time. When he screamed and shouted, okay, in a city of Jericho as Jesus was passing by, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And people shut him down and said, quiet, don't disturb this master. Jesus paused and stopped and said, what can I do for you? Turn blind Bartimaeus' life around. Likewise, Zacchaeus, an outcast of society. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, today I shall come to your house and have wonderful, wonderful laksa with you. He speaks to the Samaritan woman and says, Samaritan woman, in that conversation, the man you're with is not even your husband. You have had five husbands, and this sixth man you're with is not even a husband. Here's this poor, abused, exploited. It is not an immoral woman, friends, because women in those days have no right to divorce men. It is men who has the right to divorce women. And imagine this poor woman, exploited, abused, totally broken. Jesus make time. And you know what, friends? She became the first evangelist to her own people after encountering Jesus. Likewise for children. Listen, making time for children. Here, by the way, in DMC, we appreciate children, we love children, we like children, and when children run around during worship celebration, it's perfectly all right. Hello? When children cry, it's perfectly all right, one. Hello? Isn't it? You know, someone comes to church, Pastor, you know, is your church quiet or not? I want to come to a service that's very quiet, okay? I say, you know what? Then you're looking for a cemetery. Which is absolutely quiet. This is not a cemetery here, by the way. The church here, DMC, is a nursery, isn't it? Full of life and vibrancy. There is noise, there is screaming, there is shouting, there is crying, there is singing, there is dancing, there is all kinds of things taking place, and all you wonderful people say, isn't it? In fact, I preached in X Church just last month, and I told them at the end when I came up to preach, I have never come across a more noisier church in my whole life than this church. They were screaming, shouting all the time, okay? And you know what I said to them? I love it. I like an atmosphere like this, isn't it? All you like the kind of atmosphere, say, isn't it? It's very important because there is life, there will always be screaming, shouting, laughing, clapping, rejoicing. Unless there is no life like a cemetery, then you expect absolute silence, isn't it? And so, friends, you know, we appreciate. And when children cry, friends, can I say, especially cry very loud, let us not adults all look one direction there. Okay? If you do that, you need to repent because it shows your lack of humility. No, no, no. Well, friends, we appreciate one another, isn't it? Because we're a family. So things like this happen. Which parent wants his child, her child to cry? Nobody wants. When a child cries, it's okay, isn't it? Very important. Why? Because a family embrace one another. Isn't it? And that's what is with Jesus. When even Jesus' disciples were trying to push the children aside, Jesus says, no, bring them here. Bring them here. It takes time. He lays hands upon them, prays for them like this, isn't it? And likewise, Nicodemus, the highest of the high in Jewish religious society, part of the Sanhedrin, okay, part of the Jewish ruling council, quietly, secretly came to Jesus and talked to Jesus. Jesus make time. And that's where John 3:16, the most famous verse in the New Testament comes, for God so loved the world, it was spoken to Nicodemus, friends. And finally, church, Peter, who has denied Jesus three times, betrayed Jesus. Jesus came to him and offered him another opportunity to be restored so that Peter can be used by God. That's Jesus, friends. In other sense, for him, he always relates to each one personally and he treats everyone with dignity and respect. And I trust this is the case in the life of DMC, friends. And it's so important, is it? Anyone, everyone who comes here is not too small, too insignificant for you and I to take time for. Any job, friends, any job is not too low, too small for me to do. And I trust, friends, that's the heart that I pray. By God's grace, we all carry and all God's people say. Isn't it very, very important for us? Finally, friends, what he does? What did Jesus do? Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Let's read together, okay? It says here, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearances of men, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, you know, the cross is the highest mark of humility. The highest and the greatest mark of humility. Imagine, friends, Jesus is king, but he came as a servant. Jesus could wear a crown when he came, but instead, he took on the cross. That's what grace and humility is all about. He has every right to take on what he is due because he's God. And yet, what he took on is one of servanthood. What he took on eventually was death and death on a cross. And that's why, friends, you know, the way up for all of us is the way down. And that's what Luke tells us like this in Luke 14 and verse 11. One final time together, church. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I know of someone, a student, some 40 years ago, doing an accountancy in England, where I was also studying at that time in Birmingham. And she would go around visiting a lot of women on her own accord during weekdays, take a bus, go and visit some of them, to care for them, love for them, help them, encourage them, pray for them. And she would do this week after week in the midst of her business of studies. When she graduated and came back, she refused to work as an accountant where the money is. Instead, she joined Malaysian Care and served for some 30 years in Malaysian Care. The poor, the needy, the down and out of society. Today, she is here serving our senior citizens. Most of you don't know who she is. But friends, here is an example for me of an unsung hero. Here's an example for me, friends, or someone that reflects true humility. The more we serve, the more God grows in us humility. The lower down we serve, the more God builds into us a greater, greater measure of humility, of stature, of wisdom, of grace in our lives. That's a challenge to all of us, friends. And let's reach out, I pray, by God's grace in DUMC. Just be a servant of one another. Just to extend grace and goodness towards one another. Just to lift up other people, especially, friends, those who are in need, those who are having difficulties, those who are frazzled, those who are really, friends, been torn apart by sin and shame and all kinds of things in this world. Friends, let's reach out to them so that as a church here in DUMC, I pray by God's grace, when people stepped into this place like this, they will encounter not only honor for one another, they will encounter humility that is reflected in all our lives. And humility is something that people see in us, not what we think we have or what we think we are. It is what people see in us. And the best reflection, friends, I pray by God's grace, humility, just reach out to yourself, whoever, whatever. So together, friends, I pray it becomes an important core habit in the life of DMC. Amen. Let us pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I believe God is just wanting to work in all our hearts. It requires a lot of grace and humility to open our hearts to Jesus and allow Jesus to do a deep work. Maybe even some of us visiting for the first time, or some of us were not Christians. To invite Jesus into our life is an amazing step of faith, but also it's an act of humility to recognize I need Him. We all need Him. Just as sometimes sin and the things that have blinded us, or sometimes pride has prevented us from responding to Jesus. But friends, you know, God loves a humble heart. God cheers someone on with a grace and humility in life. And so this morning now, you have not yet invited Jesus into life as Lord and Savior, not asked Him, I want to extend this invitation to you. The best thing that can have happened to you in your life is one of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. To say yes to Him, to acknowledge your need for Him, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins and allow Him to step into your life as Lord and Savior. And so this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you'd like to do that. At a count of three, wherever you're seated, would you raise up your hand? I want to pray for you. This is a precious moment, my friend. God is here. He loves a humble heart. He wants to step in and just release grace upon our lives. So are you ready? At the count of three, wherever you are, raise up your hand high. I can see your hand. I want to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone? Is anyone here? Yes, thank you. Thank you. I see a hand. Anybody else? Anyone else? Downstairs first, okay? Let's just stand across, okay, the hall here. Anybody else? Yes, right, right at the end, that side there. What about upstairs? Okay, up in the gallery. Is anyone? Raise up a hand high. Can I see your hand? If there is, we're going to pray for you. Is anybody? Yes, thank you. That's a hand over there. Anybody else? Another one right at the back there. Anybody else? Okay, on my left-hand side, your right. Is anybody else? Okay, up in the gallery. Would those who put up a hand say after me this prayer? And church, will you join in as well? Join in to encourage these people. Say after me aloud together with you. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your love for me. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. And right now, come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and your power, and enable me to live as a Christian from today onwards. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be teachable throughout my life so that I grow in your grace and I grow in humility. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, seal it in the hearts of each one of us who pray this prayer and do something deep, wonderful, and powerful, Father, I pray, oh God, and bring to birth this new life. And Lord, I pray that you will just draw these people to be assimilated to the life of the church like this and learn and grow together in you, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we all stand? I want to pray for all of us. I want to pray that God release grace upon all our lives so that increase will grow in humility in the grace of God. But for those who put up a hands who prayed that prayer, or even if you don't put up a hands, you pray that prayer, so-called a sinner's prayer, would you come right to the front at the end when I give the altar call for people to step up? Would you step up from our seats and come to the front? We're here to help you, friends. We're a family here. We're here to help one another, okay? But I will pray for all of us, friends. Would you raise up your hands before God as I pray? Pray that God will just release grace upon grace. God will release a teachable heart, a submissive spirit that will continue to learn and grow. Father, I bring to you all these, my brothers and sisters, oh God. Release mercies and grace upon all of these, my brothers and sisters. Lord, we come to you, Father, oh God, recognizing our need of you. Lord God, we come as humble servants before you, needing your grace, needing your goodness and your blessings, oh God. And so, Father, I pray you continue to nurture us, continue to mold us, our life and our character, oh God, more and more, Father, I pray, so that we will grow, Father, in greater grace and humility. So that, Father, oh God, increasingly, Father, I pray that we'll grow in wisdom and in stature, in favor with you and with men, oh God, I pray. That we'll walk in humility and accountability. That we'll walk in submission and obedience, oh God. That we'll reach out to serve one another, Father, and find joy in the privilege of serving one another, Father, we pray. Whatever the ministry in church, whatever outside, oh God, whatever in our workplace, in our school, college, university, oh God, that we'll be there available to be humble servants of yours. And when we do that, Father, you build in us increasingly, Father, the grace of yours in our lives, oh God, so we grow truly, Father, in humility, oh Lord Jesus Christ, more and more, Lord God, I pray, Father, in the world. So work in each one of us, Father, I pray, so that indeed in the life of DMC, oh God, this core habit of humility will be so reflected in us, oh God. It is not what we think we are, who we think, is what people see in us, Lord. And I pray, Father, this will be something genuine. It will not be something where we're out to impress people. But it is something, Father, oh God, that is deep down in the character of our heart and our life, and continue to allow you all through life to mold and to make our character to be more Christ-like in every way indeed, oh God. So help us all, Father, I pray. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. For some of us, I sense that we are struggling, we are wrestling, we're even striving. We are striving with people, striving with a friend, with a relative, with a colleague, with a classmate. Right, you're wrestling and striving. Would you come in and pray for you? Because friends, you know, a quiet heart and a gentle spirit will not strive with people. Sometimes maybe you are hurt, you're deeply hurt, and you feel you've got the right to hold on to that. Friends, can I say, when you hold on to that, it doesn't help you. It binds, it enslaves you on the inside. If we harbor anger and bitterness, friends, and we think we have the right to harbor it, it destroys us on the inside. It eats us up on the inside. It is not worth it, friends. Start this year afresh and anew. Friends, would you come and allow the grace of God to work in our hearts and our lives? maybe you've been hurt and wounded and you felt that you've got a right, you know, to take it on that person. God is saying, would you just humble yourself? Would you just humble yourself and let me vindicate you? It may happen in this life. It may not even happen in this life, but allow me to deal with it because I'm a God of justice. If it doesn't happen in this life, it will definitely happen in the next life. Friends, so would you come, whatever your situation may be, come and allow God's grace to work in our heart's life to bring healing and wholeness. Some of us accepted Jesus and to come, we're to pray for you. Others of us, we need to recommit ourselves, our life anew, and afresh to Christ. Some of us are backsliding, growing cold. Would you come with a prayer for you as well? Some of you need to step out to serve more. Step out to be available to serve. Come, we're to pray for you and talk to you as well. So whatever it is, friends, young and old, let's come upstairs. All right, would you come to the staircases on both sides and come down? We're to pray for you. So for church, as the worship team leads us, would you come? Some of us need to step out to pray, Lord, help me to grow in greater humility and submission and teachability. Will you come, church? We're going to pray for you. So as the worship team leads us, friends, just come. Step out quickly. Come, we're going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Friends, just come and just receive the grace of God. Since that God's unusual grace is here, God's favor, He wants to pour upon our lives. So will you come, friends, and receive the mercy, grace, and the favor of God? Friends, allow God to do something deep and wonderful in us. Will you come? Just come quickly, as many of you can.